And hang on, I think we're recording. Yes, we're recording.
Okay. Happy Friday, Alan.
Hey. Happy Friday, Brita. We are both recording and broadcasting.
Awesome. Is there a lag between, like, you know, on BTR?
Yes.
Is there? Okay.
Yes. It's like 10 seconds. It's not horrible, but it's significant.
Okay. So better than BTR.
And we've got somebody calling in already.
Get out of town.
Yeah, maybe NFO. Let me take it.
Cool.
Hello, caller.
Hey, Al, I'm Jim Curtis.
Hey, Jim. Awesome.
Yeah, hi, Jim. How you doing?
Get back to you. Pretty good. I was on the road as usual.
Okay.
Oh, of course you are.
Yeah, I figured you'd be busy, but we wanted to, you know, use your post and have you on.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's got a few interesting comments from folks.
Yeah, it did. So, all right. Well, let's get started. Let me play the intro music.
All right.
And it's time for the score report. Friday, April 20th. All right, that's enough of that.
Okay.
Still there, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
That blast out your ears? That was a little loud on your end, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, I think my left eardrum is taking up residence with my right eardrum at this point.
Yeah.
That's all right.
The sound effect thing plays over the same audio channel as the soft phone for the PBX, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just amazed you've been able to get all the technology to actually work together.
Yeah, it usually amazing. Works.
And we have, Alan has added a chat on the blog now. So we have, like, it's almost like exactly like BTR. Like, we have a chat. We have the show going on at the same time. It's pretty cool. We can take callers.
Yeah, that is super.
I know. It's good to know, like, computer geniuses.
Yeah.
I don't know about genius, but anyway.
It's all relative.
Hey, you're doing a lot better than me. I can't even get that damn iPad to cooperate.
Well, you know, you know, the iPad is supposed to be idiot-proof, Jim, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess that tells me where I fit in the food chain.
Oh. Well, hang on. Let me find your post here.
I have the link. You know, I noticed, I love these posts that you put up on your blog, NFO. I don't know where you get them, but they're always like kind of like little food for thought.
Well, there is a fairly large military email community.
Right.
And a lot of these come from that that set of emails that floats around the military side.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, a lot of them I don't post because they're even more pointed than the ones that I do.
Oh, okay. You can't handle the truth.
Well, I don't need any more death threats. I'll put it that way.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, I actually had some a couple of years ago. You and I chatted about that one time. So I'm trying to stay out of that league.
Yeah. That was quite a post that one a couple of years ago that you put up.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's funny to watch your stuff kind of spread all over the internet. You know, you put something up and you think, hey, nobody's reading this. You know, and then all of a sudden, it's everywhere.
Well, what's truly funny is when I get it emailed back to me.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have had that before. And it's like, hey, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. Wait, I wrote that. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Hey. Yeah, it's funny. It's
and especially when I get it back from somebody that's not even military connected.
Oh. Strange.
It's like, hey, did you see this one? Yeah.
It's like Marco Kluse, the Munchkin Wrangler with his, what was it? He wrote that, The Gun is Civilization, and then it was, who was it attributed to? Some fictional crap.
Oh, yeah, Major something or other.
Major Caudill.
Oh,
and then Ted Nugent had Major Caudill in his book, you know, and
right.
It was just like this ridiculous thing, yeah. The internet is an interesting place.
It is, and... You know, people, I think, are waking up.
Yeah.
That's just my perception, because a lot of the things in here, you know, in this particular post, they're true.
Sure they are.
You can't dispute them.
Nope.
And as you read down through it, it's like, Jesus, you know, these many things are going on. Why haven't I been paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me add Weird in here real quick. He's calling on the phone, so I'm going to conference you. You're going to hear a hold music for a second, Jim, and then I'll get you back right on. Okay, hold on. All right. Is that Weird?
Hello.
Hello.
Yep, it's me.
Okay, we should have Weird and Jim on now at the same time.
Hey, Weird.
Hey.
There's Jim.
All right.
How goes it, my friend?
Oh, it goes well. It goes well. Up in Maine, having some time with some family. Saw the Wicked Good Band live. Those of you in Maine will know who that is. Those who are not in Maine will have no idea who that is.
Nope.
Yeah, that's true.
don't have a clue.
Mm-mm.
It's a jug band from the Portland area.
A jug band? Like literally a jug band?
A jug band. And some honest-to-goodness jug band with a wash tub and a bass and
Ooh, cool. A
washboard.
Oh, my gosh.
And they just added in a mandolin player and a fiddle player.
Nice.
That sounds fun.
I love those.
And all of their songs are comical and about Maine life.
Ever since I saw the jug band on the Andy Griffith Show back in the day. Yeah, I mean.
I didn't see that one, Alan.
Yeah.
I saw it on
the Yeah,
runs.
Speaking of which, the drummer for the band died today.
Oh, did he? I knew he was circling the drain.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm gonna have Weird write my eulogy.
Circling the drain.
She was circling the drain.
Yeah. Okay, well,
it would come it like it is.
Anyway, Weird, I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at the Jim's post?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, thanks a lot, Weird.
Yeah, geez.
I've been running around all day. I'm sorry, Jim.
Well,
sure.
Old NFO posted a post called Upside Down Land, and it's kind of like a lot of truisms, you know, about what is going on in the world today with a lot of political correctness and what's going on in the government, and I don't know, like things like, you know, you live in upside down land if your government believes that the best way to eradicate trillions of dollars of debt is to spend trillions of more of our money. Things like that. I mean, it's just, you think about it.
It's like bizarro world.
Yeah.
It is bizarro world. It has gotten to the point where it's bizarro world. It really is. It's like through the looking glass. You know, you think, what is going on? Like, how did we come to this point? And Jim, do you have any feelings like how we have come to this point where it is
sure.
upside down land? Like, what has happened?
It is political correctness run amok.
Okay.
When the truth is no longer the truth. When somebody can take it and twist it to their own uses, you know, and really the first one says it all. A Muslim officer crying Allah Akbar while shooting at an army base, i.e. Fort Hood, is considered to have committed workplace violence.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they didn't want to call him a terrorist.
Yeah, while, you know, somebody running around with a Ron Paul bumper sticker or a Gadsden flag is a domestic terrorist. Yeah. You know, I've actually seen the report out of DHS that said, if you're military, you have Pro-2A and a Gadsden flag, you're a domestic terrorist.
That's crazy.
Well, at least you should be profiled as one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be one.
Yeah. Well, we're all in good company, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know I have a Gadsden flag and, you know, questionable bumper stickers. This week was tax, you know, Tuesday was tax day. And I don't know about you, but it kind of like hurt my heart this week. And then in your blog post, it says, you know you live in upside down land if hard work and success are rewarded with higher taxes and government intrusion, while slothful, lazy behavior is rewarded with EBT cards, WIC checks, Medicaid, and subsidized housing.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's painful. And you know what? I've seen numbers where it's becoming very close to 50-50, where 50% of the population does not pay income tax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so basically what that means is
53-47. Yeah.
We're carrying 50% of the country on our backs.
And they deployed the FBI into Boston this week because there's been enough people writing stories about people buying cigarettes and beer and lap dances and all sorts of other marvelous things with their EBT cards.
Yeah, the EBT card is a problem.
They've been looking the other way for years, but now it's getting too hot, so somebody's going to do something.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? You know, they'll run an investigation and say, oh, it's all good, we fixed it, and somebody will go to jail. Probably not even one of the guilty parties,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm. We've got to do something, principal.
Yeah. Rather than fix the problem, which is if you get caught doing that, you're cut off forever. Yeah. You know, period. End. And if you starve, well, gee, you know, maybe you should have thought about that before you went out and bought beer and cigarettes or bought a lap dance. There is no personal responsibility today, not amongst that group of the population.
Well, it's not only that, but it's actively discouraged.
Yeah.
I mean, you show up with some personal responsibility and you get in trouble.
Or you get taxed to death.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no incentive really anymore to work hard. There's no incentive.
No.
You know, you work hard, you get taxed.
Somebody else is going to work hard, and you're going to live off the proceeds.
Well, you remember that study they did a while back last year that said that somebody on a family on welfare has more disposable income than a family that made $60,000 a year.
Oh, yeah, because they don't pay any taxes.
Right.
They get everything.
They get everything paid for, and you know, food and everything, and so the cash money they get doesn't have to go to bills.
Yeah. Plus, they've all got jobs under the table.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
We were talking about coming back from Penn State today. You know, we're now in the third generation that has never worked.
Yep.
Jeez.
Three generations that are living on welfare.
Oh, God.
You know, and, you know, to be very blunt about it, if you look at why there are very few functional black families, it's because a black female is a moneymaker in the welfare world.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. It's all about economic incentives. I mean, one of the reasons that as a society moves from, you know, agriculture to industrial and on, you know, moves from third world to first world, and you see the birth rate drop, is because children become more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the cost of something goes up, you get less of it. Well, you know, so as nations, you know, become for, and you see it all the time. You see these developing countries that start increasing their GDP and they get better jobs and all this kind of stuff, and their birth rate drops. And then, you know, you have the opposite of incentive with the welfare system where, you know, you hear all these stories all the time of people that just, you know, the children they have are not, you know, they're like they're breeding children for money.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. And the other thing is, if you look at the reports, you know, across ethnicities in the birth rates, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants are bringing up the tail end of the line. The only people further back than us are China because they're only having one male child.
Right. Now, well, Hispanic, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
For the Chinese.
Well, it's a serious problem over that part of the world right now, trust me. But the leaders are actually the Muslim races because they're averaging 7 children per family.
Right. Well, that's what's happening in Europe, too, because the birth rate of the Europeans dropped below replacement, and they had to import. The reason they're having so much Islamic problems in Europe is because they had to import people to do the work because they didn't have enough bodies, themselves exactly. To get it all done.
Yeah, but the interesting part is, I was out in Bahrain last month. You know who does all the work out there?
Like Filipinos, I think, or something, isn't it?
Filipinos, yeah. Indians.
Yeah. Hmm.
You know, because they're not Muslim, so they import them,
right?
And that's the labor force.
Well, they also have no rights, and they don't, you know.
Yeah.
They'll do stuff that Muslims can't or won't do.
Yeah.
And they don't have to stop and pray, over and over, and they're more, yeah. You know, there's all kinds of. Well, I mean, you know,
that's true.
When you're running a factory, you can't stop the line.
Yeah. And by the way, don't get beef bacon. It just does not work. But, you know, I mean, some of the other things. Yeah, I got a ticket for not having a damn sticker because the county never sent me one. But yet there's a Hispanic guy sitting there waiting on his wife. He gets totally ignored. He doesn't even have plates on the damn car.
Well, because they know they're going to get the money from you.
Yeah, they know they know he's never going to pay, so why bother?
You're not going to default on that.
Well, also the illegals, when they get pulled over in the traffic stops, they have to contact ICE, and ICE just says, "What the hell do you want me to do about it? Let them go." And yeah, if they ever try to follow up on it, I mean, this guy's working up for a false identification anyway. He just grabs another one and he just disappears.
Yep.
And just, it's one of those things that he was never where he was in the first place, and now he ain't there either. And it's gone. So they just, it's the same thing with Massachusetts police and marijuana right now here in Massachusetts. Is we decriminalize small amounts of marijuana, and there's no duty to inform police officers if you're not being criminally charged. So therefore, they'll say, "All right, I'm citing you for a misdemeanor possession of marijuana. What's your name?" "My name's Donald Duck." They just say, "Oh, fuck it. You see someone smoking a joint, you look the other way."
Yeah. And, you know, where does that leave law enforcement? Because, you know, this administration has basically publicly said, "Well, we don't like that law, so we're not going to enforce it. We don't like this law. We're not going to enforce it," you know. And it's basically under-the-table amnesty for all the illegals. And they vote.
Yeah, they do.
Because,
you know, this is kind of probably a special case, but Barack Obama's uncle, who has been, arrested numerous times for drunk driving, and he's an illegal, and he has a job, and he probably votes... just got his driver's license back.
Okay. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, they just gave him his driver's license back. He's illegal.
That's exactly correct, yeah.
What?
You also can't forget his aunt. His aunt was an illegal alien. She's also living in Boston. And she
And she was living in Cleveland for a while, I think, too.
What's that?
She was living in Cleveland for a while.
Yeah. So somebody found out about this when Obama was when Obama became president, that he had an illegal alien on, and she was in Section 8 housing and on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just saying, all right, number one, she's got this wealthy relative, and he's not bothering to help her out. And on the other hand, also, she's an illegal alien and she's on public assistance. Something needs to be done about that. Well, something did get done. Oddly enough, she got a high-priced lawyer, and he argued that she was a political refugee, and if she returned to Kenya, she would face grievous physical harm. Nothing else specified.
Yeah, from her relative, so now, who is like the president of Kenya.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she is now a political refugee in Section 8 housing and on welfare.
Yeah. You know, another thing on NFO's post that kind of struck me was that it says, you know, you live in upside down land if parents believe the state is responsible for providing for their children. I see this sort of thing at the library a lot, and a lot of it's based on, well, I pay my taxes.
Yeah, like that matters.
And, you know, you hear your stories from senior citizens talking about their Social Security money, and they're like, well, I want my money. And I want to tell them, your money doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. There's not like some big piggy bank for your money that the government is holding. But yeah, they feel like, you know, they've been paying into the system, and somehow they're going to get an equal return on their investment for things that they want. And it is so not the case. You know,
it's
like you pay your taxes, you're not guaranteed anything. That's the point I think a lot of people miss. They think, oh, I'm paying my taxes for such and such and such and such, and the government's going to give me this because I have paid into the system. No, not how it works.
Well, what's even worse is you got the ones who are all like who have never paid in the system.
Yeah.
And just, oh, it's owed to me.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another one that's been floating around on mail blogs is, you know, they were trying to kick all of the military retirees out of TRICARE at age 65 and force us into Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And...
yeah, good job.
They almost got away with it. But
that's
they didn't. So now they're coming back and they're going to up the TRICARE for Life project. They're going to up the fees. Right now, they're free for standard TRICARE. They're going to up them to $1,100 for the retiree himself, and up to about $1,800 or $1,900 for family.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So the supposed free health care that we had for life just went out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to make sure people understand what this is like the deal, right? This is you... you join the military and you know you're going to, you know, you're going to get shit for like however many years you're in, right? And you could die. You're going to be miserable a lot. You're not going to be paid squat, you know. It's
you know, that's true.
And in return, you know, we're going to take care of you medically. You know, I mean, it's like the least you could do, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you're putting your life on the line for the country, and in return, we'll take care of you. You know, we'll make sure, you know, we'll do the best we can to make sure you're healthy, which, you know, frankly, given the state of the VA and everything else, that's a joke. But, you know, all that aside, you know, there's at least an attempt made. And now they're going to go back on that deal. And, you know, this is not Social Security, where, you know, the myth is that it's insurance and you get something back for what you paid in, which everybody knows isn't true. This is the deal you make when you sign up, you know, when you enlist or you get your commission. This is, you know, it's like the promise that the country makes in return for you giving your service. And then, you know, oh yeah, you know what? That doesn't matter. We'll just, you know, we'll go back on it.
Well, politically, what percentage of those people are going to vote for Democrats.
None.
You know, it's
not very many.
You know what I mean? It's like they're kind of rolling the dice on that. They're thinking, you know, how many votes will we really lose?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, about 5 to 6 million.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, but they weren't going to have those anyway.
They weren't going to have those anyway, though, probably, right?
But, yeah, the even worse one was last year when the idea got floated out of the Senate to make the wounded veterans pay for part of their own care.
Yeah, I saw that. That was disgusting.
That's shitty. I'm sorry.
Yep.
That's really shitty.
Because it costs too much to keep these people alive, so... You know, they volunteered, they ought to pay for part of their own care.
Oh, good Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen is, you know, they're already, you know, it's by the skin of their teeth that they managed to get enough good people in now. You know, if they get a reputation for screwing service people over, they're, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, and it amazes me when I'm on the road and I talk to these kids, and they're still willing to serve. You know, and they're well-educated.
Right.
And they're out there doing, you know, what they believe is right because they believe in the United States. And, you know, it's hard to, as they say, what was it like back in the old days? You know, and it's hard to tell them it was better back then than it is now.
Right.
Yeah, even the low point, you know, the late 70s post-Vietnam was...
Yeah, 78, 79 under Carter.
Right. That was, I mean, I, you know... Yeah, that was about the low point, and I actually enlisted in the Marine Corps in 82. So it was just you know, Reagan had been elected, and but it was still the you know, the Carter malaise, and it was all there was a lot of people that were like, you know, it was tough, but
the other one. That, you know, and Rick Ector and a couple other folks, we were talking about this at the NRA convention. You know, the Democrats and the liberals are anti-2A. And Rick brought up a good point. Now, he's the one that runs Legally Armed in Detroit. He's an NRA instructor up there. The Democrats are actually the ones that passed the amendments that kept blacks from getting guns.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It was the...
And many of the founding members of the KKK were, in fact, Democrats.
Absolutely. I believe all of them were.
Yeah.
Well, there were no Republican KKK members. I'm sorry. There weren't any.
Weren't any black KKK members either.
No, there weren't.
For the exact same reason. I mean, Republicans were seen with exactly the same lines because, you know, the Republicans were the party, back then, the Republicans were the party of Lincoln, and Lincoln was the one that said, no, you can't secede.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the NRA convention.
That was
Jim.
Smooth.
Yep.
Alan doesn't know how to segue.
Hey.
That is a beautiful segue, Alan. That was a brick wall segue.
NFO, you went to St. Louis to the NRA convention.
Yes, I did.
Had you been to other NRA conventions before? For our listeners perhaps don't know.
I missed Charlotte because I had to work, but I didn't make it to Pittsburgh, as you all know.
Right. Was St. Louis any different than Pittsburgh in any way?
More women shopping by themselves.
Interesting.
Huh. More families with young children and, you know, buying, you know, literally, okay, you want that 10-year-old and the 11-year-old going, okay.
Uh-oh.
Losing him.
Yeah. You kind of broke up there, Jim.
Oh, sorry. Literally, 11-year-olds picking out the rifles they wanted.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Now, the one that I did see and I did post about was the 75-year-old lady in the Glock booth looking at a Gen 4 Glock. And I was just standing there watching. She racks the slide, you know, she's looking at it. And the rep comes over and goes, "Ma'am, can I help you?" She says, "Well, I'm just trying to decide whether I'm going to update to the Gen 4 or not."
Nice.
That's terrific.
Excellent.
And Brita, she was about your size.
I like it. That's good.
All right.
I always like to see that. Like, it's so funny to, you know, because people have such, they have such misperceptions about people who are in the NRA and go to the conventions or, even gun shows. You know, there's always like a surprising diversity, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's good.
Was the politeness, you know, just like in Pittsburgh.
Sure. Yeah.
Everybody was polite. And, you know, a bunch of us went out to an Irish restaurant, Irish pub one night. And the GM, who'd been a GM for like 5 years, literally came over the table and said, "We see every convention that comes through here, and y'all are the nicest bunch we've seen."
Aw, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And, I mean, the St. Louis cops, you know, same statements as Pittsburgh last year. "Hey, y'all aren't causing any trouble."
Yeah.
"Matter of fact, crime's down since y'all are here."
That's usually the case. That's how it was. They said in Charlotte it dropped by 25% or something.
Yeah, that's right. The crime statistics during convention weekend always drop.
And the population of the city doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny how that happens, huh?
Funny how that works.
Spiffy.
Well, this year was 74,000, which is a record.
Oh,
and
my
considering
gosh.
Considering the weather on Saturday and Sunday, you know, I think if the weather had been good, it could have easily been 100,000.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, it rained all weekend, didn't it?
It rained Saturday, bad storms Saturday and Sunday night, yeah.
Huh.
And
that's what happened to the protests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they just never showed up. Law Dog and I went looking because he had a new cane he wanted to try out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. He was very disappointed.
Yes, he was. But it was, you know, it was an interesting change, too, in the way us bloggers were received. Because you remember in Pittsburgh, people really didn't want to talk to us from the manufacturers.
Right.
This time, "Oh, you're a blogger? Come on in. Let me show you what I got." Matt Guest and I spent probably 45 minutes with the program manager from Colt on the Colt Mustang. And I mean, he literally disassembled the pistol right there in the booth in the middle of the show and was walking us through every step that they'd done to fix the pistol. And
oh.
Letting us take pictures of everything.
Cool.
Yeah. And, of course, we got ignored by the dinosaur media again. But it was a good time, and next year it's Houston, so...
That's right.
So, I read your post where you said that you were getting ignored in the press room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not unusual. That kind of happens. I think the other journalists are a little bit put off by the bloggers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're
at one point,
well, you know, we're kind of the competition. They're having trouble selling newspapers now, so, you know... people are getting their news in other ways, more kind of reliable ways than the news lately.
And we're not as biased as a lot of the mainstream media.
No. And I think a lot of the journalists that are in the press room at the NRA conventions, I don't think they're gun people necessarily. So it might be a little bit intimidating. I remember one of the first years I went to the... Was this in Phoenix or?
Yeah, it was Arizona, I think, wasn't it?
In Phoenix, it was we talked to this one woman who was basically a socialist, and she wanted to ban all the guns. Do you remember that, Alan?
That was Phoenix.
Was that Phoenix? It was so bizarre. She was in the press room, and she started talking to us, and there, you know, it was kind of all of the first kind of real big blogger thing at an NRA convention. You know, it was like the first big year for bloggers there, and there were other people in the press room, and really, I don't think a lot of them are gun people at all.
No, they're not. Yeah. They got assigned to cover it.
Yeah. It's interesting though to mix with that sort of people, those sorts of people. Yeah. But I always thought to myself, like, why don't they do a story about us, the bloggers? Wouldn't that be interesting? Like, you know, they're in the room with us all the time and great chance for interviews or conversation, but never really.
That'd be like a buggy whip maker interviewing Henry Ford.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the case.
Yeah, but
it's one of those. I mean, they need us because they need anybody they can to buy their media and to justify their ad revenues.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need them though, because you know if. I don't get anything out of my blog, and I'm gonna still do it. And if there was even less out of it, like you know, press credentials and the occasional T&E thing that floats through my door, I still would do it. I got shit to say. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah, well,
I guarantee you, if there'd been a protester that actually showed up, they'd have been out there interviewing him or her.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone. There was a news photo. There was one guy with a sign, and he got on the news.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
The interesting thing, Crucis and his wife went in and listened to the speakers, and because they had media credentials, they were able to sit in the press area. And Crucis's wife made an interesting point. We were sitting back there talking in the press room. She said, Washington Post reporter would come in when the speech started, run up and take a picture and then leave.
Hmm.
And it wouldn't come back until the next speaker got up there.
Oh.
So the reporter from the Washington Post wasn't even listening to anything. They were just taking pictures and leaving.
And filling in the blanks, probably, for their story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. they probably got the speech ahead of time or something, and they just needed a picture to go with it, and, you know, in case they ran it with the story.
Yeah.
That's usually how that works.
True. But to, you know, put any kind of crowd reaction in, it was whatever she wanted to write or he wanted to write, whoever it was.
You know, I've been kind of, because I wasn't there, I kind of was following along to see if there was anything new or how the media was covering it. And I read a story, and it was on The Blaze. I don't normally read it, but their big story about the NRA convention was, what did The Blaze find at the NRA convention? A bra holster, a .22 belt buckle, and a lady zombie. I mean, that was their big story, really?
Oh.
Not,
yeah.
You know, not about the people who, you know, make up the NRA or how nice the people were. It was just, you know.
Yeah. Something negative.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're all about. You know, they want to pick that 1%, and that's what they're going to report on.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, just keep
all
on doing.
All we can do is put the truth out there and let people read it.
Yeah.
Right. They did make a point to notice the increased presence of women at the convention and in the gun industry in general. So,
yeah.
You know, that's cool. I guess you're not the only one.
And were there many booth babes, or is that pretty much just a thing of the past?
No.
Well, I know it's
they knew what they were talking about.
Quite a few of them sorry, I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, there were quite a few there, but they knew what they were talking about.
Hmm. Yeah, well, if they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
If they know what they're talking about, that doesn't count.
No. Okay, well, if you want to call in, the number is 214-530-0036.
That's, are we going to be able to keep everybody on the line, you think?
I'm going to try to.
Okay.
It's 214-530-0036. Yeah, I can, I don't know how many people I can successfully conference in on this thing, but if
I will go till it blows up.
Yeah, if I drop one of y'all, then
sorry. Sorry about that.
And we actually do have a caller. You're going to hear, because of the way this thing works, you're going to hear like a whole, you're going to go on hold and then I'll add you back in. So okay. Hang on just a second. All right. This is from area code 503. Who's calling?
This is KJ.
Oh, KJ. Hey.
Yeah.
Hi, KJ. How are you tonight?
Pretty good.
Good.
Excellent.
Did you have a question or a comment regarding NFOs?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me conference them back in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't remember if it was NFO who said it.
Okay, that's all right.
Okay, everybody should be back on now.
Yep. All right. Yep. Well, yep. One of you said that bloggers, I do have a very small, undistinguished one myself, so I can say we here, we bloggers are less biased. That's not necessarily true if you think about it. It's just that there's so many of us that our biases cancel out.
That's true. Yeah. Excellent point. What is your blog,
we're
KJ?
All incredibly biased. I call it Oregon. It, like I said, very small. Did a review on the Quantum. I don't know. The Dragon Leatherworks Quantum. I don't know if Dennis is going to use it or not.
Okay.
Give us the URL.
All right. Well, it's pronounceitright.blogspot.com.
Okay. Why don't you, you're in the chat, aren't you? Why don't you post it in the chat?
Yeah, post the link in the chat. That'd be good.
I'll be happy to do that.
You know, I also think that a lot of people in the gun community and the gun blogger community are, I have really never witnessed so much self-policing in kind of like an internet sense.
That's true.
People will call each other out and correct each other, and you know, people try to be polite about it most of the time, hopefully. But there's a lot of self-policing that goes on, and you know, whereas on other blogs and other, you know, news websites and stuff, people just blather on and say the craziest shit, and nobody calls them on it. But really, there is a lot of self-policing, and I think that's a great thing.
Well,
you know.
Because, you know, to us, the truth matters.
And the truth does matter.
To a lot of people, the truth is irrelevant.
Yeah. And I think that...
And also, you don't want to be tarred with, like, one crazy person. And you've got, you know, certain people, you know, one, you know, other blogging mediums just going with made-up stories or just, you know, horrible defamation and all that. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm glad to see that as somebody else, not me.
Yep.
Yeah.
It may have to do something with the upbringing that goes around the responsibility, or that grows up around the responsibility of using firearms. But I notice that a lot of us are disgusted by anything other than the truth, and we do wind up congregating together.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's an excellent point, and to take that one step further, we also, since we're shooters, have personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Personal responsibility,
I'm
what's that?
I'm one of those people who... Yeah. No, I'm one of those people who would very quickly tell you exactly what you were personally responsible for on the firing line if I saw something wrong. Because that is a big part of it. There is no room for error. When you've got a gun...
That's very true.
There is... Right? I mean, it either goes bang or it doesn't. It's a binary solution set, and when it goes bang and you did it wrong, someone might die.
And that's why I put up the post about my AND.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has them sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rather than hide that, you know, admit I made a mistake, tell people what happened, and, you know, maybe save somebody's life in the long run.
Yeah.
And to me, that's worth a little embarrassment.
Sure. Yeah. We can learn. We can all learn from each other's mistakes and successes, and you know that's what it's about. I think.
Yeah.
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 Awesome. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
KJ.
Yeah, I'll be listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
And.
Do we have another caller?
Not yet. Somebody else call in.
Oh. Okay.
Dang it.
Well, I did have one other point. I work with quite a few blacks in my jobs, and all of them are as pissed off as we are.
Well, okay. Yeah.
They're responsible. I mean, you know, two of them are retired Marine E-9s. One of them's a retired Navy E-7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they grew up with responsibility.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't think it's a color thing. I don't think it breaks along color lines. I think it's a culture thing.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know?
It is.
Oh, yeah, every joke, every, you know, racist black joke will work perfectly well in a white trailer park in, you know, Maine.
Sure.
or any other place. I mean, it's just, it's all the, you know, the same thing, you know? How do you keep a trailer park Mainer from working? Hide his welfare check under his work boots. It fits perfectly fine. There's no color involved. It's just people that are not interested in working for a living and believe that the world owes them a livelihood.
And that's one thing that the military does, is it shows you how good people really are. And it can also show you how bad certain people really are.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you for a fact, color has nothing to do with that.
Nah, it doesn't. We got another caller.
And then,
hang on, let me.
And then, of course, you got the Polish jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in Texas, they changed them all to Aggie jokes. So.
Yeah. Well, that's true too.
Because, you know.
They deserve it.
So the Aggies wear white socks and sandals too.
I guess, I don't know.
That's the big Polish joke around here for some reason.
All right, let me get this call. I'm going to do the same little shuffle here.
Okay.
All right, area code 484.
Yes.
Who? Oh, is this Nancy? Who is this?
No, this is the Cranky Professor.
Woohoo! She called
Ooh,
in.
Ooh, awesome.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Oh, this is cool.
You're on my list of people I want to hang out while drunk.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
You know, you have no idea how badly I would love to find some way to get together with everyone, because I think the sheer awesome all in one room might possibly cause a black hole of some sort.
Yeah, let me get this conference back on. Hold on. Okay, that should have everybody back on now.
So I'm being polite. I'm minding my manners. I'm not going to curse entirely too much.
Oh, you can. We have an explicit tag on iTunes.
Sure.
You can say all those words
if you feel the urge. Go right ahead.
If I feel the urge. I was listening to you guys talk about personal responsibility earlier, and it was actually amusing me because, as you know, I teach, and I have a lot of freshmen under my wing.
Right.
None of whom have been raised with any sense of personal responsibility.
Yikes. Right. Oh, by the way, Weird and Jim, this is the Cranky Professor on with us.
Hi, Cranky.
Hi.
I love your blog.
Thank you. If only I would update it more frequently. I have so many stories to tell, but I kind of usually wait until the semester has passed so I don't draw any attention to stories I have to tell.
That's probably a good idea.
I'll have to
tell you, I admire you for putting up with what you put up with.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
I have to tell you, yesterday's was really too good not to share. End of the semester research paper. Student decided one of the only topics he could get behind was marijuana legalization.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
oral presentations for the end of the semester, brought his bong to class with him.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Nice. Show and tell.
Okay.
It was gorgeous. It was all art glass and very fragile. And then we had to have the discussion of, you know, paraphernalia is illegal.
It's a pipe.
And we tried to lead him, like, you know, this is for smoking tobacco, right? Perfectly legal substances.
Oh, no.
No, he wasn't having any of it. Dunn smoked himself retarded, I think.
Wow.
Way to put it.
Oh, God.
When even his classmates are saying, you are a dumb fucker. A direct quote from one of his classmates, and he just didn't understand why.
Why are you in college?
Oh, God.
There are a lot of people in college who don't need to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a, you know, that's the whole, every child should go to college bullshit, which led to the Occupy thing where everybody has like $30,000 in student loans for being a basket weaver, you know.
Well, 30 is actually pretty conservative these days.
Yeah, if somebody only had 30, they'd be doing good.
Yeah.
30 a year is about right.
Yeah,
I'd love to know where the money goes because I'm not getting it.
Hey, you got to pay those deans $1 million salaries out of something, you know.
Well, there's that. There's that. It sounds like y'all had a heck of a time at the conference, at the NRA conference.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jim did.
We did. We had a blast.
I just wanted to call in. I've been listening every Friday night. I just wanted to call in and say hello. And
cool.
It sounds like. Like the horrible ginger beastie is stirring in her bed.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Well, Cranky, before you leave, I do have one question.
Yes.
I was listening to the radio yesterday or day before yesterday driving up to Penn State, and I heard that they're now, in a couple of states, going to make D's a passing grade.
Yes. They are going to make D's a passing grade.
Is that beyond stupid?
It is beyond stupid, but I will tell you why they want to do that.
Yeah, because too many people are dunking.
Well, because number one, there's too many people failing out, and then you have parents who call in and say, it's viewed as a system of academic indulgences. I've paid my money, therefore I deserve an A and I deserve a degree.
Hmm.
The other thing is you have foreign countries. You have a lot of foreign workers coming into the United States. We won't get into the taking of the jobs and blah, blah, blah. Their educational system, while it's free, is based grade-wise. Their grading system in many ways is not as rigorous as ours.
Yep.
So as an example, I have a graduate student who's from India who... if you get a 50, which in any sane person's reckoning is an F,
yep.
If you get a 50, you pass the class.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So when you think about that, lay that idea on top of all of the foreign tech workers and IT workers that we've outsourced our computer and our security and our credit cards, our insurance. And think about, yes, they have degrees and they're willing to do the work for less money, but they're also, in many ways, much less educated.
Yep.
I had a. I live in Pennsylvania, of course, the state of the kamikaze deer. I ran over one with the Imperial Battle Wagon. Called my insurer, and they put me through to a. Whatchamacallit? An accident report tech. Who ran down the list. Now, I hit a deer. It was a single car accident. The woman asked me, first of all, she said her name was Anna. It very clearly was not Anna.
It never is.
Asked me if me or the other driver, if either one of us had contacted the police. I opined that I did not believe the deer had a cell phone on his person. She then asked me the name of the other driver, which, me being a smartass, I said John Doe.
Well played.
Nice.
We went through the entire list of questions, and then she asked again, do you have the other party's insurance information? I was so tempted to say Mutual of Omaha. But finally I had to hang up and call my insurance company back and say, listen, I hit a deer.
Yep.
Yes, we put you through to our tech. No, you put me through to someone in India who didn't understand what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. It's amazing how many companies do that and then they realize, oh, shit.
Well, and when I said, she said, well, I don't understand why it would matter where the tech is as to why, you know, you couldn't report your accident. And I said, she asked me if the deer had insurance. And the guy didn't say anything for like 3 whole seconds. And he said, Mrs. Cranky, would you like me to process your claim for you?
Dear God, please. Yes.
Yes, sorry, yes, please. That would be lovely.
Actually, they have put a requirement in now. If you ask for an agent in the United States, they have to transfer you to one.
Have they? That's brilliant.
Yes.
Oh, dear, that's brilliant. I'll remember that.
Yeah.
So, I hope you all have a good evening. I am going to go, and the Ginger Beastie is definitely trailing down the stairs at this point.
Okay.
Oops. So, time for the duct tape.
Have a good evening. Absolutely. Please have a good evening. It was wonderful to talk to you guys, and I hope to do so again soon.
Great. We'll call in anytime. Thank you.
Definitely. Have a good evening. Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Cool.
Awesome.
I was hoping she'd call in.
She is a great writer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I laugh myself silly at her blog posts. There was a recent one where apparently her parents bought some sort of contraption and well, you should go read it because it's really funny. I'm not going to bring it up now, but yeah. Excellent.
This conversation would go downhill quickly.
Yes, it would. It would.
Oh, look, we have another caller.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to do the, we are one hour
into the show now. Uh-huh. And why don't you announce, wait, let's see if I can remember it off the top of my head.
What?
The phone number.
Oh.
If you'd like to call the Squirrel Report and talk to us, the number is 214-530-0036.
Yep.
Am I right?
That's it.
I have it memorized. Excellent.
Cool.
I programmed it into my mother's phone, so anything could happen.
Oh, all right. Well, let me get this one. We'll see who it is. It's like the mystery, you know, mystery caller.
Uh-oh.
Hello, area code 971.
Hey, that's me. It's Michael from Tactical Tupperware.
Oh, okay. Here, hang on.
He's our weekly caller.
Yeah, he is. Let me get the conference back in here.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I don't want to just hang out with you, Alan. That'd be no fun at all.
Okay, everybody should be back on.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay. It's Michael from Tactical Tupperware.
Weird's still on the line.
No, Weird's still here.
I'm here.
Okay, yeah. You're very quiet tonight, Weird.
Well, there's a little bit of a lag here. I find myself stepping on anybody every time I try to speak.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. And am I right to believe that NFO has stepped in because Jay's out?
No. He's just here because we asked him to call in.
Because he's awesome.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess I didn't mean that he was only invited in people's absence. I meant that Jay's not here and NFO is.
No, we're doing that. In fact, I can take a minute and talk about this. What we're trying to do is, we will try to have on every show a, you know, featured blog post where we will, you know, try to have who the blogger that wrote it on and talk to them and all that kind of stuff. And so our featured blog post this week was, NFO's, post on the, you know, it's like an alternate world kind of stuff, you know. It's what we spent the first 30 minutes or so talking about.
Good. Yeah, I unfortunately missed the first, I don't know.
Well, you can download it and listen to it. It's on iTunes and it'll be on the.
Of course, I will. I have to drive around in a Prius for 12 hours tomorrow. This is the only thing that gets me through.
In a Prius? Is this your Prius?
It is not my Prius.
Okay. Oh, thank God. Okay. I was about to hang up on you.
And I was holding my breath there.
I will let you know that I do everything possible to drive it to get the worst possible gas mileage, including endlessly pressing the quote-unquote sport mode button. Even if I'm sitting in traffic, I don't care. I need to burn as much gas as possible just to try and get the fuel mileage as low as possible. It's the only thing that keeps me awake for 12 hours a day.
Well, one thing you can do is turn the air conditioning on because that kills the fuel mileage on those things.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I got the air conditioning on. I got the radio going. Half the time the windows are still open. You know, anytime I can increase the drag coefficient and do whatever I can, you know, I'm one step away from installing a mast with a sail on top, but I think that might make me not get up the hills in Seattle. So
I would say tie a mushroom anchor to the back bumper. That'll help.
Fair enough. I was going to go down to the local drag strip and see if they had any old parachutes I could drag around.
That would work.
You know.
Is this a company? Like I said, is this a company car that you're driving?
It is. And it's a company car that's on the road literally 24 hours a day because we just passed it off at the end of our shift. So
wow,
we're going to burn it up pretty quick.
Oh, that's funny because you're probably, you know, not whoever made that purchasing decision was you know, you got to think because not only did they pay a shitload of money for the thing, the people that drive it are probably the worst possible drivers for a car like that.
Well, you know, it is one of these things where the thing that I love, and this isn't necessarily Prius specific, is, you know, it's got the push button ignition, right?
Yeah.
So you can put it in park, which you do by pressing a button rather than actually touching the shifter. And then you can get out of the car and leave the car running, quote-unquote running, but, you know, the keys are still in your pocket, so you can't drive the car anywhere, but you can't lock it with the remote either. It's not smart enough to realize that if I'm outside in the car and pressing the remote, I want my doors to lock. So it's pretty good with things like that. But, yeah, I do what I can to decrease the fuel mileage and, you know, just drive it like I would try and drive any other vehicle, but it would require, you know, pedal to the floor to accelerate. And it's really great because it's got a 100% electric vehicle mode too, and you go over like 5 miles an hour and it's like excessive speed or excessive acceleration and just shifts back and back. Yeah, it's fun stuff. But yeah,
somebody at work just recently bought a Prius.
What?
I said somebody at work just recently bought a Prius, and I'm just trying so hard not to rain on his parade.
Oh, why?
But
a coworker told me about it, and I said, "Huh, I thought you ought to do math."
Well, you know what's interesting is our supervisors drive Ford Escape hybrids. And those actually aren't too bad, like, because, you know, fundamentally it's more Ford Escape than it is hybrid. But, yeah, they've got the same problem of, you know, we probably drive enough miles to recoup the cost, but even then you're just going to break even probably.
Yep.
Well, the interesting part's going to be when you got to pay the $4,500 for new batteries.
Yeah, that's going to suck.
No way. We total them out. We total them too quick for that to happen.
No, total them. Oh, Lordy.
They don't last long enough to wear out. They get totaled or, you know, backed into, and because they're all plastic, so it doesn't take anything to total them.
Yeah, yep. That's true.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling in. We'll
go pick up a real caller that was listening to the show. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. I'm glad you're on, Weird, actually.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk about Romney.
Ugh.
Because I've been seeing now that he's the presumptive nominee for the Republicans, I'm seeing a lot of stuff that's like, that are people are like, you know, oh, well, you have to get behind Romney because, oh, God, you know, another 4 years of Obama would be horrible. And no matter what, Romney will be better than Obama. And yeah, I keep saying, why do you think that?
What? I think just the opposite.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially, okay, see, in order for Romney to get elected, there's going to have to be enough GOP turnout that there's a damn good chance the Senate will go Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, a Republican Senate, a Republican House, and Romney president scares the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah. Well, what should really scare you is that you've got to, when you look at Obama as a president and Romney as a governor of Massachusetts, and then furthermore, if you really want to, you can look at Deval Patrick as governor of Massachusetts to further solidify it, because Deval Patrick is a very excellent miniature model of Barack Obama.
Sure.
Romney was a Republican in a state where we just don't have Republicans. It doesn't matter if you're a nominal Republican, you're a goddamn Republican.
Right.
In the state. Nobody wants to deal with you. No one wants to, give you any leeway. And he got laws passed, and he was constantly very, very active, and he was constantly getting things done.
Yeah.
And
I don't
while Obama and Deval Patrick are more of an antithesis to my political views, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to throw big parties talking about how awesome they were for getting elected, and they wanted to give lots of flowery speeches, and they wanted to be at ceremonies, and they wanted to go on junkets and all that. And for anyone who's talking about Obama being an issue now that, you know, if he gets a second term, then he's not going to have to worry about political recourse. Deval Patrick, got his second term and said he would not run for a third. And you can put his face on a milk carton because he hasn't been in the state ever since he won.
Yeah, you think Obama spends a lot of time golfing now. Wait till the next term.
Yep, Deval Patrick, not even spent time in the state, spent time in the country. He's going all over the place on various junkets and things, and I can't remember the last time I actually heard his voice. He doesn't make appearances. He doesn't even make speeches. He's certainly not, not pushing people to draft new laws. He could give a fuck. He's in for 3 more years now, and he doesn't need to worry about it. He's set for life. That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Obama. Do you really think that he wants to get down there and whip his cabinet into shape to start drafting anti-gun laws or some crazy socialist laws? He had a supermajority, and he just barely got Obamacare passed, and he passed a ban that banned flavored cigarettes.
Right.
Neither one of them he wrote.
Right. Yeah, he didn't do anything.
And neither one of them he had any part in, except for just saying, yeah, that's a good idea. If you write this bill, I'll make you some speeches saying how awesome it is.
Yeah.
Well, there is a problem with Obama, though, and that is that he's not getting the legislation through. So what he's doing is he's doing it by regulation, which doesn't get through Congress.
Right.
That's the problem.
I'm kind of not paying attention to this election, mostly because as soon as John McCain lost in 2008, I knew it was going to be Romney.
Well, yeah, it's
because
his turn.
It's his turn, and because I don't know, and it was that soon, like the day after, I was like, oh, they're going to run Romney next, because I don't understand their thinking, but anyway, so. I don't know why they're having the whole pretense of primaries and debates and the whole bullshit. I mean, basically, Romney skated through all the debates. He skated through them. He could have just stood there and looked pretty and not said anything, and he'd still be the candidate.
Yeah, the
just
fix,
because
the
they, they've decided
down.
He's going to be the candidate. But I am dreading dreading when it comes, when he's actually after the Republican National the convention and they, you know, declare him the candidate. I am dreading, you know, when they declare the candidate and everybody gets like pumped up and they're like, yay, Romney, and yay, McCain. And, you know, I'm dreading that because I cannot get excited for Mitt Romney. I just can't. And I'm really curious if anybody will be able to. I'm dreading that.
Well, one thing, Rita,
that's one point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not...
There's dog jokes.
There's dog jokes. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah,
well,
it's,
you
just...
know,
this election is just ridiculous.
A commenter, Nightbane, on my blog, who I've never seen before, but he made a great point. In 2005, the Boston Globe ran a story on Romney's judicial appointments, and what they said was that three quarters of the 36 judicial vacancies he filled with Democrats.
Yeah, so much for those Supreme Court nominations.
Yeah, all
right?
You people that think that. You know, Romney will appoint a conservative Supreme Court justice. Ain't going to happen. You'll get at the very least, you'll get another Kennedy, which, you know, you don't know which way he's going to go on any given day.
Right.
More likely another shooter.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeesh.
Well,
yeah.
This is literally which is the lesser of the two evils.
I think, in my opinion, I think the best thing that can happen is for, Obama to get another 4 years, the GOP establishment to get their fucking butts kicked and to, you know, come out in 2016 with a real candidate. I'm tired of these faux bullshit establishment apparatchiks that just, you know, keep doing the same old thing year after year, you know, voting for the same bullshit.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Let's, you know, I mean, I know they're politicians, it's always going to be politicians and politicians are always going to suck, but damn, you know, at least let's try.
Yeah.
Let's stop having candidates who it's their turn.
Yeah. Well, it's come to the point where I think where all the candidates are coming closer and closer to the middle or claim that they are because, you know, everybody wants somebody.
Well, yeah.
Who makes everybody happy.
To get elected.
And they think that, you know, if you make everybody happy. Yeah. That's the way to win. But really it isn't. It's. You know, you need to have somebody with defined principles and defined ideas of where they want the country to go. And, you know, Mitt Romney isn't it.
Nope.
There's a reason why Reagan was so popular. There's a reason.
Well, and the Republican establishment absolutely hated Reagan.
Of course.
Yep. Hated him with a passion. That's
right.
Why. That's one of the reasons he had so many problems getting stuff done is because his own party fought him at every turn.
Yep. That's a true statement.
Yeah. Well.
But he brought down the Soviets, which is something nobody else was able to do.
Yeah, I think that would have happened sooner or later anyway. I mean, the Soviet system, I mean, socialism just, you know, eventually it's going to crash and burn. I mean, that's just the nature of the thing.
I don't know. North Korea is still going.
Yeah, but they're getting supported by China.
Yeah.
Sooner or later.
So are we.
Well, sooner or later.
So are we.
Well, and look at our economy. You know, sooner or later, you run out of other people's money and the whole system crashes. So, you know, what I'm afraid of is the Russians are, you know, they're a kleptocracy now, but, you know, at least they don't have that socialist thing hanging over their heads anymore.
Yeah.
We have to go through that still.
Right. And they've got oil. They've got diamonds.
Yep.
They've got all kinds of natural resources.
Yeah, they got a
manufacturing technology.
They got a big Navy fleet they don't have to worry about taking care of anymore.
actually, they're rebuilding it.
That's what I mean. They don't have to, all the old stuff, they don't have to worry about maintaining because it's sinking into the mud.
Yeah. So basically, where we're at is that we are going to be running Mitt Romney against Barack Obama, which is essentially we are running the man who lost to John McCain.
Yep.
Against Obama.
Right.
Really? I can't see how Mitt Romney might have changed in the past 3.5 years, you know. That's just me.
Well, he never stopped running.
Well, he's...
No. No, they never do. Okay, I think once you get to that point, that stage, that's all it is, really.
Hey, we got another call.
Yes?
Go ahead, Weird. Say what you got.
Yeah, well, I agree with you completely on the, when it comes to the people that run campaigns, who are the people that field all this shit and get how somebody postures when they enter the race and how aggressive and how non-aggressive they go through, there's no such thing as an unforced error for the other side. There was never they let us have this. If Romney wins, it's not going to be because anybody's in love with him.
Right.
There's no such thing as a Romney supporter. It's going to be because so many people hate Obama so much that they held their nose and they voted for Romney.
Yeah.
But now, if that happens, the people that run campaigns, and that's all campaigns, all of the future people who decide to throw their hat in and to the national race, unless they go completely independent. As far as who runs their campaigns, they're going to say this was, you know, Mitt Romney got elected because it was a mandate on rhinos. You need to be squishy. You need to be left wing. You need to play to the middle. You need to try, you know, you need to try to split the Democrat vote because that's the way you win. And they're never once going to say the only reason why this guy won was because everyone hated Obama.
I don't think that's going to be a problem because if the only reason people would vote for Romney is because they don't like Obama, Romney's not going to get enough people out to vote for him.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, it's gonna. I think Brina's analysis is perfectly correct. You know, McCain got beat by a drum by Obama,
of course.
McCain beat Romney like a drum.
Yeah. Wait till the media. I mean, you got to remember, most voters still get all their news from the TV, and actually, they get most of their news from Saturday Night Live and what's his name on the Comedy Channel,
John Stewart.
That's where they get their news from.
Yeah.
So you know, guess who those guys are going to be pimping?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and these generations now, you know, we're the dinosaurs because we actually still read. Generations today, if it's not a 30-second soundbite, they don't pay attention.
No. That's exactly right. Yeah. You know what? And I've noticed that that's what the media counts on, is that, you know, the people live soundbite to soundbite, and they create these soundbites. And really, it's come to the point where it doesn't matter if the soundbites are true or not.
Nope.
They'll run a soundbite and they'll put it into the narrative and into the collective consciousness, you know, through the media, through TV and whatever. And it gets passed along. And by the time somebody says, hey, wait a minute, that's not true, it's too late. They can print retractions. They can print apologies. It's too late. For instance, this is a perfect example. I can see Russia from my house.
Yeah.
You ask anybody who, you know, doesn't pay attention, which is most of the people, you ask anybody who said that, and they will say Sarah Palin believes that she can see Russia from her house.
Yep.
Sarah Palin never said that.
Nope.
Never.
Tina Fey did.
Tina Fey said it.
Right. On Saturday Night Live.
It doesn't matter, though.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Because she was dressed as Sarah Palin at the time, and that's good enough.
That's right.
Right, and it just got passed along, and it became like this kind of, you know, it took on a life of its own, and by the time somebody stood up and said, that's not true, it's too late.
It was too late. Yeah.
And they're counting on that. They're counting on the lack of attention and the short attention spans that people have.
Well, and the lie is on page one, and the retraction, if it ever comes, is on page 37.
Exactly. Know. They're counting on it.
Yep. Well, we
so
had
basically,
another.
Basically, they can print anything.
Page 37 and a 6-point font.
Yeah.
Right. you know, it's like the politician who you know, is, oh, like, you know, the conservative politician who's all against gay marriage and blah, 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 and you know, he gets caught having a gay affair, you know, and suddenly he's so sorry. You know what I mean? It's like that sort of thing. They're only sorry when they get caught. Otherwise, they're running with it because, I don't know. It's very frustrating.
That they got caught.
Pardon me?
It's not that they're sorry. It's not that they're sorry when they get caught. It's sorry.
No, they're sorry
that
they got caught. Yeah.
Bill Clinton was sorry for cheating on his wife just because they found out about it.
That's right.
Right, sure.
All right,
but it's that sort of thing. It's like they have no shame up until the point. And even then, it's too late. Nobody cares by that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have another caller. Let me do the conference shuffle here. And we have a caller from Mary Code 248.
Hey, it's Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
Hello.
You're finally in. Hang on. Let me do the conference. And everybody should be on now.
I'm going to use my sultriest voice for you.
Yeah. So, Trevor, are you going to read what Rita writes in her voice now?
Yeah. She's got a voice for radio. That's definite.
Excellent.
I was saying, I've got a voice for print and a face for radio, and I've worked in both.
Well, all right, then.
I'm not sure. Is that a compliment? I'm not sure. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Go ahead.
I knew it was a compliment.
Okay, thank you. How are you tonight? What are you calling in for?
Oh, it's just an interesting conversation, talking about the narrative is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that in so many things, you know, where there's just, this is the idea we're going to get across, and we're going to manipulate the way we report on it, you know, however we need to do so in order to achieve our goals. And people don't even realize how much that actually happens.
Right. Exactly. I think the Democrats are really good at it. I think they have a really good sense of what's going on kind of in the popular media. And that's why Barack Obama is so successful. I mean, he had that whole media campaign and he had all the logos and he had, you know, it was like this big kind of media event. You know, it could have been a reality show or something on MTV or, you know, it's so, you know, well designed, the whole thing. And I think the Democrats have a really good handle on that. And they have a really good handle of how people absorb information now. And they're using it to their advantage.
I don't know that people absorb information anymore.
in short doses, and then they forget again. You know, it's, yeah.
Well, not only that, but most of the ones the Democrats are pandering to don't work, so all they do is sit home and watch TV anyway.
Yeah, the cesspool of daytime television.
Yeah. But, you know, we used to make a number of cross-country trips, and what we used to do was, depending on where we stopped, we'd get like a San Francisco paper, a St. Louis paper, and then a Washington, D.C. paper. And it would be a kernel of truth, but three entirely different representations of that article. You know, and the Democrats are playing that even better now because they're using the social media.
Sure.
They've got the mainstream media, what's left of them, behind them. And, you know, we're losing the battle.
Well, a lot of that's because the social media is all the, you know, college kids and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
who are all liberals, because that's what you are when you're in college, you know, for the most part.
Yeah,
I was.
And I'm not a conservative, but the conservatives are all, you know, oh, look, a computer. You know, I mean, yeah, that's a stereotype. But frankly, you know, we're the exceptions.
Yeah.
You know, the people that can blog and do, you know, Skype and stuff like that are, you know.
As far as media bias goes, there, you can attribute some of it to malice, definitely. But there's also just a lot of it is the old, you know, the old there's a saying, I don't know anybody who voted for Nixon. Mm-hmm. I forget who said that exactly, but that's so true. When you go on to a newsroom, I've worked at newspapers and radio stations, and I'd be the only gun owner, you know, or at least the only one that would admit to being a gun owner. You know, the background of most lower-level reporters is, you know, generally liberal democratic. And
that's true.
You know, they've and that's just their normal worldview. So anybody that's just a little to the right of them, they see as being radical. And anybody that's really to the right of them, they see as, you know, Hitler. You know, because they think they are the moderate.
Well, yeah, everybody sees themselves as the middle of the road, you know.
Sure.
Not me. I'm an extremist.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Well, I know people in that work in Hollywood that are conservatives, and they can't tell anybody.
No, they can't.
Because it will literally cost them their jobs. They'll be fired.
Yep. Because there's no, you know, being a Republican or being a conservative or being a libertarian or being basically being anything but a Democrat and a socialist is not a protected class.
No, it's a target class.
Yeah.
Yeah, and made a good point, too. The people in media, by and large, are liberal arts educated.
Sure. They're in that class of people who, if they make a mistake, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, if
they didn't do the hard science stuff.
Right. If an engineer makes a mistake, people die. If a doctor makes a mistake, people die. If, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, hard science stuff where, you know, if you make a mistake, it has consequences because your shit doesn't work. But if you're, you know, if you're a liberal arts person or you're a journalist or whatever, you know, okay. So my, you know, part of the problem is, you know, they like, you know, they say all these things and they have all these theories and there's no, you know, there's nothing that comes back and says, oh, that was a complete failure. You know, the answer is, oh, yeah, we didn't try hard enough or we didn't spend enough money or you know, or Obama's. You know, the stimulus wasn't big enough.
The rule at the newspapers was always, you know, you can make the mistakes as long as you don't embarrass the paper. You know, you will want a retraction. The only time people got in trouble is when they make such a huge mistake that embarrasses the paper, and then they get fired. But that's just because the paper is embarrassed, not because they're trying to improve the standards.
Yeah, they had to fire somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the proverbial, you know, fall guy. Well, I mean, you know, you look at the thing going on right now with the Secret Service has. You know, prostitution is not illegal in Colombia.
Nope.
They didn't compromise any classified information that I'm aware of. And I'm not going to be surprised at all to see lawsuits from these folks on their jobs back because they are being fired without cause.
And they'll probably win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all political. It has nothing to do with reality.
Well, it's just like this Zimmerman and Trayvon thing, you know. You know, the event happened and then several weeks went by and nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somebody found out about it and decided they could use it for political advantage. And all of a sudden, you know, you got a case where a well-known liberal, I mean, let's face it, Alan Dershowitz is a liberal.
Yeah.
And he's going, hey, you know, this charge is bullshit, you know. He's saying the prosecution is not only, you know, not only is it wrong, it's immoral.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and Rick Hector was talking about that. He said, we had 6 people killed in Detroit. Have you seen that on the news anywhere?
No, of course not.
No. Because it was black on black. you know, where's Jackson, where's Sharpton?
They don't
care. Nowhere to be found. Had the same thing a couple of weeks ago. Huh?
It's more likely it's black-on-black crime as well. Again, there's no hay to be made there.
Right. You know, we had the same thing happen in D.C. We had six killed in one weekend. You know, that was about a page four mention. And I don't see Sharpton, don't see Jackson around for that either.
Yep, no political hay to be made there.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one, and this is the one that my grandson actually asked me about. He said, why is it that Mama's got a sign for me to go on a school trip? But he said, I see, you know, the kids getting abortions without their parents not even knowing.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yeah. You know, and he's 12, and he's already starting to see that in school.
That's perceptive.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. But it's the same idea with, like, the zero tolerance thing is, if your, 14 or 15-year-old daughter doesn't feel like saying, Dad, I'm having my period right now. I've got cramps really bad. Can you please sign this form that says I can bring some Midol with me so I'm not dying all day in school? Because at that age, it's none of your goddamn business. But schools have zero tolerance policies when it comes to kids popping pills.
Yep.
So guess what? She gets to be suspended and she can't march in graduation. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the latest one is all the supposed sexting.
Oh. You know, I don't... it's so strange to me that I wasn't even allowed to chew gum in class.
Yeah,
and all these kids now, like, have, like, cell phones and, like...
Yeah, it's crazy.
What? You know... Passing notes in class was like the big deal. You know, you couldn't pass notes to your friends, but now all kids carry cell phones, and so strange.
Just why couldn't there be sexting when I was a teenage boy?
No kidding. Damn it.
Motherfucker.
I was so deprived.
Hey, weird. You got to look at your whales.
That's funny. Hey, Brita, do you want to talk about our contest?
Yeah, it's getting to be about that time to wrap up the show, I think.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end. If you follow the Squirrel Report blog, it's sqrpt.com, I posted a blog post. My first blog post, I think, in like 5 months. But,
yay! And there was much rejoicing.
Woohoo, yeah.
Damn time.
It was on the Squirrel Report blog, so it doesn't really count.
Of course it counts.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so I posted a thing. We're still having the contest for headers for the blog. We have a brand new one up right now, which is really cool, and I like it a lot. Who's it by?
Gudis.
And he's the one who also designed the little...
the squirrel
little icon, right? The squirrel corn with the little antenna sticking out of his head. So we are taking more. I think it would be cool if we could kind of cycle through, you know, a number of headers. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But if you go to the blog right now, sqrpt.com, squirrelreport.com, you'll see the new header. And this is the sort of thing we're looking for. This is really fun and unusual, and I really like it. I'm happy with it. But so I think we're going to stick with that one and take more submissions and decide from there and go, I don't know. Alan wants me to learn how to use WordPress and design the blog because apparently I've been voted as the one with the artistic.
Yeah, that art degree may have something to do with it.
Art degree might have something to do with it, but I have to learn WordPress first before I do any of that. So if you all could help me out and send Alan blog headers, and he will pass them on to me, and I'll try to work them into the whole thing I'm going to design eventually. And, we're still running the contest. Not sure about the surprises. But yeah, it should be fun. And we appreciate everybody who has
prizes of somewhat questionable nature.
Yes.
Does that mean I get to come over to their house?
Maybe.
Yes. The prize is Weird visits you.
Weird shows up at your door.
I have so much love to give.
With duct tape.
So, we appreciate everybody who has participated so far, like all three of you.
Yeah, we actually did get a couple more really good headers from a couple of different people, but they unfortunately used images that were like off of Google or something like that.
I wanted to get in trouble.
Well, there's that whole copyright thing, and if you don't know the provenance of your image and it's not provably public domain or a license that allows sharing or your own work, then we just unfortunately can't use it no matter how good it is.
Hopefully we'll get other ones in and work them in. So, but this one is really cool that we have up now.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually like the redacted one.
Yeah. It's neat. Anyway, so we're still running the contest. Yeah. That was my big announcement. And
apparently, I need a new chat client because this.
You need a new chat client. It worked okay.
It did.
Really worked okay. It did.
It worked okay until it hit more than 20 people, and then it just bogged down and went to shit. So,
well, I'm surprised it didn't crash altogether. I'm kind of impressed. Yeah.
I need to find a different way to do that.
Figure something out. But.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. Jim, you sidelined on us.
We're losing Jim.
Yep.
Now appearing is Jay.
Somebody's got to have bad audio. All right.
No, I mean, this is, again, the reality. You know, we accept responsibility for what does and doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, well. You should have heard the first couple episodes. That really was interesting. We really ended up accepting responsibility for quite a lot for those first couple episodes.
The beta test ones were
it's gotten better, thank God.
I was going to say they were kind of rough, but no, they were really rough. They were
really, really rough.
Really,
yeah.
Really, yeah.
It's gotten better.
But it's getting better. It gets better every time.
Yep.
Hopefully.
And maybe next time we'll have everybody back on.
That'd be great. All four co-hosts at one time. That would be fantastic.
It would be a first.
Mm-hmm. It would be a first. So Weird.
Yes.
Do we have a date for next Friday? Me and you?
Yes. Yes.
And
I will
Alan
be around. Jay.
Woohoo. Kinky.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're done. Thank y'all for thanks, Jim, and thanks for calling in, and thanks to everyone else who called in, and thanks to everyone who listened. We really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back next Friday.
And if you didn't, they'll tell us about it anyway.
Yeah,
right?
No. It's what happens.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Well,
have a good night.
Chatting with you folks, and looking forward to doing it again.
All right.
Excellent. Thanks, Jim.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.